We want to turn or start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 this morning. This is a short verse, but has deep meaning, the rich teachings in this short verse. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That particular word, abstain, there means to hold oneself off. I mean, that's literally the meaning of the word. So that abstain is a good translation of that. Holding oneself off or keeping yourself away from. I mean, that's what abstaining is. And he uses the word where it says every. I mean, that is the Greek word for all. Not just some, but all. What is the appearance of evil is what is seen. So what is visible as being evil, we as Christians need to keep away from all appearance of evil. And so that's his teaching in that particular verse. But we need to understand what God teaches in his word about how we are to, why that is important, how we are to do that, and what steps we need to take so that we can accomplish that particular will of God there and obey that commandment. Going back to the Old Testament for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we want to read here verses 11 through 15. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 15. He says, For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. This particular passage is also quoted in the New Testament in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. So what he's teaching here is not something that only applied to the Old Testament scriptures. What God speaks here applies to all that he speaks to his creation, all of his revelation to man, everything that's in the Bible. This is all the word of God. And the Creator, our Creator, is good. And he wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his will so that we can accomplish his will. And he's not hidden his will high up into heaven to where we have to try to figure out how are we going to go get somebody up there to heaven to get God's word to bring it to us so we can know what his will is. Nor is it across the sea, as he says, that we're going to have to figure out a way to go on the other side of the earth to be able to try to retrieve God's word and bring it back to us so we can know it. He tells us right here that he's made his word available. It's right here before us. He has set before us what is life and good and what is death and evil. So when the Lord tells us, as he did in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, to abstain from every appearance of evil, how are we going to know what evil is that we're to abstain from? How are we going to know what good is that we can do the good and not the evil? There's only one source of that. There's only one place to go for those answers. It's not in man. It's only from God. Of course, Jeremiah 10, verse 23 tells us that it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. We are only going to have our steps directed properly from God by through his word. This is the only source of knowing what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. So abstain from every appearance of evil. That's going to have to come from knowing the word of God, the will of God, knowing, being able to discern between what is good and what is evil, so we can understand or recognize what is evil so that we can abstain from every appearance of it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Having said what he did to Israel there in Deuteronomy 30, and it applied to every generation of Israelites thereafter, as we've noted, the same principle is also taught as the Lord quoted those verses in Romans 10, so it applies to us as well. Even though we're under a different covenant, God has still revealed that and made that very available to us. How far do we have to go? How much effort do we really have to go to get a Bible, to be able to open that or tap on it or however we access it, to be able to read and study the words of our Lord, our Maker. It's very easy for us. It's so easy for us to access that. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, though he had stated that to Israel and made that true for every generation of Israelites, that he had set before them life and good and death and evil, and he had made it available to them so easily. He said in Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, that was not from lack of God providing that or making that knowledge available to them, as we've already seen. So for the people to be destroyed by a lack of knowledge, why did they lack knowledge? Well, he also mentions it there in that verse. What had they done with that knowledge? They had rejected it. They had forsaken that. They had forgotten it. They had forgotten what they knew. They had rejected it. And so they didn't know the will of God. Now, how could they abstain from every appearance of evil when they were ignorant of what God's word teaches? They couldn't discern between good and evil, and so they couldn't abstain from every appearance of evil. They had no desire to do that. And so that's a problem that man still has. And if we're ignorant of the will of God today, we're going to be destroyed also as they were. So the Lord commands us not to be ignorant. In Ephesians chapter 4, if we can turn over there, Ephesians chapter 4. I know in among men sometimes the saying is given that ignorance is bliss. That is not true, and especially in the spiritual application. Being ignorant of the will of God is not in any way blissful. It is utterly destructive, eternally so. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, here's what God says. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." So this isn't Paul's words here. Paul was the instrument by whom God was speaking this, but this was in the Lord. This was from the Lord. These are God's words. He says, "That ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God," through what? So now he's describing people, the people of the world, that have their understanding darkened. Is it true today that in our world that we live in, that the understanding of this world is darkened? How much understanding do we see in our world today? Now, people think they understand, but they understand something very different than the will of God. Their understanding of spiritual things is very much darkened, and they are alienated from the life of God, as the world was 2,000 years ago. This is true of every generation. The whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. That's always the case, but when he says that the people of the world are alienated, I mean, they're estranged, they're removed from the life of God. Through what? He says, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Through the ignorance that is in them. So if we're ignorant of the will of God, what's it going to result in? Well, it will be destroyed. We will be alienated from the life of God. If we're alienated from the life of God, how are we going to have eternal life? We can't. So he tells us not to walk like the other Gentiles, not to walk like the world, not to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge of the will of God, not to be ignorant. And so then in verse 19, he says of these ones in the world who are ignorant of God and his word, he says, who being past feeling. And how many people in this world have any feeling, any conscience of the evil that they're engaged in? I mean, do they have any feeling about it anymore? And anyone who shows any feeling towards or against what is evil, how hard is the devil using those in this world today to try to destroy any feeling anybody might have about that? But he says they're past feeling. He says they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, that is so true now as it was then. Verse 20 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." If we have been taught, if we know the will of God, which we can through Jesus Christ and only through him, But with his teachings, we can know God's will, and then we will know what we need to know so that we are not alienated from the life of God, so that we will not be past feeling and have our understanding darkened and be walking after the course of this world. Verse 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he has much more to say following that as far as details are concerned. But this is essential for us if we're going to abstain from every appearance of evil, that we will know the will of God, that we will not be ignorant of it, so that we would not be alienated from the life of God through that ignorance. In Hebrews chapter 5, there were Christians who had once known but had quit growing in their knowledge, and their discernment of good and evil was not at all what it needed to be. And they were rebuked by the Lord here, and this stands as a rebuke to any Christian, which can include us if we are not doing what he's going to tell us we need to do right here. But if we are not skillful in the word of righteousness, if we have been a Christian for some time and we're not growing in our knowledge and understanding of his will, if we are spiritually stagnating, then we're like these ones he's describing right here. And then we got a problem, and we're going to be facing destruction again because of ignorance of the will of God. So as we come into Christ, we must grow in Christ and become skillful in the word of righteousness. We need to grow up. We need to go from being a spiritual baby and grow up towards into completion, spiritual completion. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, is a baby to be blamed for only being able to tolerate milk in their diet? Is a baby worthy of correction and rebuke for that? No, because a baby, being a baby, can only take that level of nourishment. This is not rebuking people who were spiritual babies because they had just been born spiritually. These were ones who were spiritual babies, had remained babies well past the time that they should have grown up. And they should not have been on the meat, on the milk of the word anymore. He says in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So these people were unskillful in God's word when they should have been skillful in his word. In verse 14, he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Literally, that's the Greek word teleos, those who are complete. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If we're going to abstain from every appearance of evil, we need to have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Now, how much skill in the Word of God do we need to be able to do that? Well, if we have a little bit of skill in the Word of righteousness, we will be able to discern between good and evil a little bit, to a certain extent. The more we grow and the more skill we have in God's Word, the greater we're going to be able to discern between good and evil, and then how much better are we going to be as far as obeying that commandment to abstain from every appearance of evil. You can't abstain from what you don't know and what you don't see. We need to see it. We need to see what is evil so we can refrain ourselves and run away from that. So God teaches us that we need to have that knowledge of his will and have that skill in his word so that we can do that. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, Proverbs 4, 13 through 15, he says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Well, there's abstaining from every appearance of evil. But again, he starts with take fast hold of instruction. We need to have that instruction of God's word, to know his will, to have the skill and be able to have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil so that we will not enter into the path of the wicked or go in that road of evil men, so we can avoid it and pass not by it, so we can turn from it and pass away. Now, as he's describing that, using that language, very similar to what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every appearance of evil, entering not into the path of the wicked, avoiding it, passing not by it, turning from it, passing away. Do any of those words sound like, or it's describing the kind of mindset of, we want to find out where the line is between good and evil and get as close to that line and not cross it, and having that kind of, playing that kind of game with good versus evil? If we have that kind of mind, we got the wrong mind, because we don't have the fear of the Lord then. Because the fear of the Lord, as he says right here in this book of Proverbs, over in chapter 8 and verse 13, is to hate evil. If we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to hate evil, we're going to love what is good and what is right. We'll love righteousness, and we're going to then seek to do the good and turn away from the evil. If we're trying to get as close to evil as we can without crossing the line, then we don't hate evil. We don't have the fear of the Lord. And then we're not going to understand what we need to, and we're not going to obey his commandment to abstain from every appearance of evil. So we have to have that fear of the Lord, and we need to love what is good and hate the evil. How many scriptures do we have that tell us literally to run, flee from what is evil? You can look at Genesis 39, verses 11 and 12, when Joseph had been sold into slavery, into Egypt, and he was taken by a man named Potiphar, whose wife was seeking to have Joseph to commit adultery with her, and he literally ran from that situation. He got himself out of there, and of course she falsely accused him, and he ended up in prison, but God got him out of that eventually. We know the rest of how that ended up, but it started showing that Joseph had that fear of the Lord. He hated what was evil. He was not going to engage in it, and when evil presented itself, he ran from it. He got as far away from it as he could do. And the Lord uses that same language for us. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, he tells us to flee from fornication. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, he tells us to flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22 says to flee from youthful lusts. So over and over again, the word uses that that phrase, that term, to flee or run from evil in all these different applications, whether it's fornication, idolatry, youthful desires, anything, any appearance of evil, all appearance of evil. We are to abstain from it. We are to run to get away from that. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, give no place to the devil. We're not to give him any opportunity where he can tempt us. That's one reason why that's the verse after the one that tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger. If we're angry and if we let the sun go down on that, then we are presenting the devil with an opportunity to bring temptation before us. And so when he says don't do that, then he tells us give no place to the devil. There's that is not just hanging there in the air. There's a context to that. But giving no place to the devil, that needs to apply across the board. And that's what we do when we abstain from every appearance of evil. We're giving no place to the devil. When we see if there's any temptation there and we're running from that, we're not giving the devil opportunity to bring us under temptation where we might commit sin. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, the Lord tells us that he is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. God is faithful to do that. That's one of his great promises. He's going to provide a way of escape from every temptation. But what if we are trying to get near the temptation and we're not trying to get away from it? He's providing a way of escape. We don't need to be fighting against the Lord and his purposes and neglect that way of escape and put ourselves in a position where we're going to be tempted. We need to stay away from that. Proverbs, if we can turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 3, Proverbs 22 and verse 3, he says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So if we're wise, we're going to foresee, we'll be able to see ahead We can see down that road that we're on right here. If we're taking a step in this direction, based on what God teaches, we should be able to see where that's going to lead. We should be able to see what's going to be coming down that road, the kind of temptations that's going to bring before us. And as we foresee that, then we need to say, no, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to take another step down that road. I'm going to go over here where God tells me to go and not go anywhere near that over there. Now, if we don't foresee the evil, again, by ignorance of God's will, and we're doing is living from second to second and not looking at what the Lord says is right and wrong or good and evil and not foreseeing what's down the road that we're walking on and what's going to end up happening. Well, that's what he describes there as the simple. They pass on. They're not thinking about where they're going at all. And then they end up being punished because they fall into sin, into that evil that they don't foresee. So we need to be prudent, have a skill in the word of righteousness, foresee that evil, and stay away from that. Philippians chapter 1, if we can turn over there, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Lord says, only let your conversation, that's the word for behavior, so this is for all Christians, we need to let our behavior, he says, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I remember when I was younger, if I was doing something my mother didn't like, she would say, that's unbecoming. I don't hear that phrase that much. I don't hear many people say that anymore. That's what he's saying right there. Our behavior needs to be as what becomes the gospel of Christ, what becomes being a Christian, one who is following the gospel of Christ. If what we're doing isn't becoming according to what God says a Christian should be, then our behavior needs to change. So all of our behavior needs to be becoming as what is taught in Christ's gospel. And all of us need to be standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for that faith of the gospel. All of us together need to be doing that. And this starts in youth. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, remember thy creator in the days of your youth. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, building on what Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 tells us, remembering our creator in the days of our youth. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that's that word for behavior again, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So this needs to start in youth. This is not something to wait until many years down the road before we begin to develop that skill in the word of righteousness and abstain from all appearance of evil. This needs to start in youth. Young people need to be prudent and foresee the evil and stay away from it. Abstain from every appearance of evil. They need to be growing in their skill in the word of righteousness and need to be examples of a believer. So here's what a believer in Christ should be. And this is what the Lord upholds is what becomes the gospel of Christ and what a believer in Christ should be like. And he tells young people, you need to be an example of a believer. So he's not talking about being an example to the believers. We should do that too. But he's saying be an example of the believers. Be an example of what a believer in Christ should be in all these different ways. He says in word, the way we speak, the way we behave, in our love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, all of that. Can a young person do that? Can young people abstain from every appearance of evil? The Lord says to do so. Starts in youth. All of us need to do that. All of us need to stand fast in one mind, with one spirit, in our faith in the gospel. Abstaining from every appearance of evil, only doing what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel of Christ, this is an opportunity for you to come forward at this time, repenting of your sins, being willing to confess your faith in Christ before men, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a Christian and if you need to return to the Lord, if you've gone astray, this is an opportunity for you to return to Him. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please won't you come right now while we stand together and sing.